Pipeline Stories, a series on Minnesota's natural resources economy. If you're like a lot of Minnesotans, you probably never heard of Enbridge until you heard about its pipeline proposal, Sandpiper. The Canadian-based company wants to build a crude oil pipeline across northern Minnesota. If the pipeline gets green-lighted, building will begin in 2015. It's a huge infrastructure project, and many Minnesotans want to know more about Sandpiper. Lorraine Little, manager of U.S. Public Affairs for Enbridge, talks about the need for a new pipeline.
Sandpiper is a 600-mile-long pipeline. It originates in western North Dakota near Tioga, North Dakota, and ends at our terminal in Superior, Wisconsin. The purpose of the Sandpiper line is to transport the growing production out of the Bakken or the Williston Basin. What's going on in North Dakota right now, as many people know, is that there is a real oil boom and that production is increasing. In fact, the state just announced that they passed the million barrel mark. Well, all of that production needs to be moved to market. Right now, what they have is a real constraint on transportation capacity, and so pipelines are full. Enbridge already has a system out there, and it's full. There are other operators out there as well. So when that happens, you know, the oil still needs to get to market, and there's a demand to get it to market. So what happens is it moves on alternate transportation methods, such as rail. And so what this project is designed to do is to move large volumes of that crude oil into the markets that want it.
Some estimates have Bakken oil production increasing 20-fold in the past 6 years. Between Tioga, North Dakota, and Clearbrook, Minnesota, the Sandpiper would have the capacity to carry 225,000 barrels a day. At Clearbrook, Enbridge's pipeline hub, the diameter would increase from 24 inches to 30 inches, making it possible to pick up crude from other pipelines coming into the hub. This expanded segment could convey 370,000 barrels a day to Enbridge's refining terminal in Superior, Wisconsin. A second pipeline company operates in Minnesota. Dave Schaefer, who covers energy issues for the Star Tribune, says they're also getting the push from North Dakota and Canada to expand.
Now, at Clearbrook, there's another pipeline company called Minnesota Pipeline Company. It's actually owned by the two refineries and another smaller company in the Twin Cities here, and they have pipelines, separate pipelines that run down to the Twin Cities, and they have recently announced that they are going to expand the capacity of that by adding pumping stations. The way pipelines are built is they typically build them somewhat bigger than they need them, and then they put a certain number of pumping stations. If they want to actually use the full capacity of the pipeline, they have to add pumping stations. And they're doing that on the Alberta Clipper pipeline, which is Enbridge's one of their major lines out of Canada through northern Minnesota. Enbridge actually is planning a second upgrade that is in review right now of that pipeline, and that pipeline upgrade, which is again pumping stations rather than new pipe. This would have, you know, major implications for Minnesota refiners. They would be able to get more of this oil if they want it.
The same judge who will be ruling on Sandpiper, Judge Eric Lipman, decided in June to back the Alberta Clipper expansion. The expanded line could transport a whopping 800,000 barrels of crude a day. For a state that doesn't produce oil, Minnesota has a lot of it running underground and on rails. Some 800 rail cars carrying North Dakota crude already roll through the Twin Cities every day.
You know, it's probably not an absolutely clear correlation between build a pipeline and then you'll get X fewer oil trains from the Twin Cities. It's a complicated market. And the oil trains actually have developed new markets because they're going, they tend to go to like the East Coast, places that you would not otherwise be served by pipelines.
Even if Sandpiper doesn't reduce Minnesota's congested rail traffic, a new pipeline could bring other benefits to the state, says Enbridge's Lorraine Little.
Sandpiper is a large capital investment for the company. Overall, it's a $2.6 billion project, so a significant investment. But just in terms of jobs and kind of how that looks for Minnesota, we expect about 1,500 construction jobs to be needed in order to build Sandpiper. And, you know, with those jobs, at least half of the workforce comes out of the local union halls. It's local people, and they recently had an experience when we built Alberta Clipper, so we've got lots of trained folks that can, you know, pick up some jobs on this project. In addition, we already pay the state of Minnesota about $34 million a year in property taxes. And once Sandpiper goes into service, that will add another $25 million on top of what we already pay. You know, in many counties in the northwestern part of the state, we're already the largest taxpayer. And so, you know, this adds even more to that. But, you know, even just looking very community focused while construction is taking place, or, you know, even leading up to construction, there's a lot of spin-off economic benefits, such as hotel stays and, you know, gas stations and restaurants and, you know, the local department stores. People need supplies. They'll be moving into the area, so they're going to need to access supplies.
Here's a figure for you. The U.S. currently consumes 18 million barrels of oil a day. North Dakota's 1 million barrels a day is quite a significant chunk. Some in Washington are holding out hopes that one day the United States will be a net exporter of oil. And Sandpiper, says Little, helps the U.S. move as a whole towards our goal of energy independence. But at the same time, the Obama administration is dragging its feet on the approval of a Canadian pipeline to the Gulf of Mexico, the Keystone XL, asking, do we really need one more pipeline? With a pipeline comes concerns, the greatest of which is oil spills. And Enbridge had a big one in Marshall, Michigan in 2010, when over 20,000 barrels flooded the Kalamazoo River. Enbridge's Lorraine Little.
One of the darkest days in our company's history, and it's something that we never ever wish to repeat. And so we've made a lot of changes over the last several years since that incident occurred, one of which was we've actually built a brand new control center, and the control center operates 24/7. It's a state-of-the-art facility, but basically the control center operators can see every mile of our pipeline and understand what's going on with that system. The procedures within the control center have changed as well. Different training. There's another person in there that kind of acts as a mediator to make sure that if somebody's seen something that they're questioning, they have somebody else to have a discussion with to verify that. And that's one aspect. We've also done more just on the pipeline integrity and maintenance side of things. We've invested about $4 billion into system inspections and maintenance. And that means more internal inspections of the pipeline so that, you know, we can see what's going on with the line. That means more external inspections where we actually get the data from the internal and then we go out and dig to take a look at what the tool saw and verify or make repairs. And then we are also doing a lot of investigation with new leak detection technologies. Everything that we're looking at right now is how can the technology improve what we're already doing and make things better. But the ultimate goal is zero. We're trying to get to zero incidences because nothing, no matter how small it might be, is acceptable, and so we're striving for zero.
There are some residents along the proposed Sandpiper route who question the advisability of building an oil pipeline through a part of Minnesota dotted with wetlands, lakes, and rivers. Groups like the Hubbard County-based Friends of the Headwaters have proposed alternate routes, sending the pipeline south towards the Twin Cities or into Minnesota's southern agricultural land, which are all possibilities. But the current southgoing pipeline corridor, MinCan, is not owned by Enbridge, and Enbridge's refinery hub is in Superior. Enbridge's Lorraine Little.
In general, we like pipelines to be located next to our other pipelines so that we've got one corridor that we can keep an eye on and maintain. It's one corridor where the disruption is happening. So that's always the preference. In this area, we are primarily focused on the transportation of crude oil. And so we have a big terminal in Superior, Wisconsin, and pipelines coming into Superior Terminal and then going out. And those pipelines that go out of Superior Terminal feed refining markets in the Midwest and the eastern part of the U.S. as well.
Whether or not Sandpiper gets built and where it goes, Minnesota's oil boom is only starting to heat up. Star Tribune journalist Dave Schaefer.
In the next 3 years, if all of these pipeline projects get underway, Minnesota is really going to get a taste of the North Dakota oil boom, because we will have a lot of workers coming in, staying for periods in motels, probably filling the accommodations in small towns in northern Minnesota, and a lot of work going on, a lot of trucks, a lot of digging and construction. We will have a piece of North Dakota.
This pipeline story is made possible by the generous support of Northern Community Radio members who contributed to the local journalism project. Please send us your feedback or ideas for stories in your community to comments@kaxe.org. And if you didn't get a chance to contribute and would like to, go to kaxe.org. This is Britt Ahmet for Northern Community Radio.